Romans chapter 8, verse 5, we've been talking about unshakable faith, unshakable mind. Tonight, we'll be talking about unshakable thoughts. And your mind is not neutral. Your mind is not neutral. And I want us to, we might say, well, what's the difference between a mind and thoughts? Well, thoughts are different, right? A mind has intuition, perception, a will, right? What we're talking about here are thoughts. That's different. Why, Pastor? Because so you and I can understand the thoughts that we have will determine our behavior. Now, we don't understand this sometimes, but our thoughts make us feel emotions. These emotions help us either react in a positive way or in a negative way. Follow me, have a good behavior or a bad behavior. So I want to help us understand that we can have unshakable thoughts, that our circumstances don't have to dictate or determine what we think or what enters into our mind. If you didn't get paid this week, you don't have to have a bad attitude. Okay, never mind. Well, but you follow me, okay? We don't have to let that control us. Like, we can still have peace, right? I know. You can still have peace. The Bible doesn't say that if your bills are paid. The Bible says peace that surpasses all understanding. It doesn't make sense sometimes. And maybe the reason why the bills are not paid sometimes is because God is testing our faith, maybe. You follow me? What I want us to know and understand that our mind is not neutral. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 7. The Bible says this. For they that are after the flesh do what? Mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the what? The things of the Spirit. For to be carnally what? So pause right there. What are we talking about? Okay. We're talking a carnal what? Right. Right? Because we have these carnal thoughts. You say, Pastor, duh. But I'm going somewhere here because I want us to understand that we can have unshakable thoughts. The problem is we're taking the wrong vehicle. The problem is we're getting on the wrong Uber, so to speak. We're getting in the carnal mindset instead of getting into the spiritual mindset of who God is, what God can do. Instead of having godliness, we're having thoughts of ungodliness. Look what it says. For to be carnally minded is death. Am I in the right one? But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is what? A friend? Friendship? Is what? The opposite. Enmity. Against who? God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot what? Come on now. Thank you. Here's my question to you tonight. Can you submit to God if you do or think what you want to think or do? Why not? Okay, but what is that? Your thinking is what? No, it's carnal, and it's going off the flesh. That's the source of it, right? But what is it against God? In other words, you're going up against God when you think that you're going to do what you feel like doing, what you think is right, what you want to do. You're going against who? God. It's anti-God to have a carnal mind. So what do you think your behavior is going to be? Anti-God behavior. Can you go to church and have anti-God behavior? Yes or no? Yes. The pastor, can he have anti-God behavior? Yes or no? Yes. Can a Sunday school teacher have anti-God behavior? Yes or no? Can parents have anti-God behavior? Yes or no? So then what do we expect of our followers or our children? If this is what they see, and if we don't protect our minds, I want you to understand here that Paul is not describing bad people versus good people. He's describing two types of mindset, carnal mindset and a spiritual mindset. A carnal mindset is driven by the flesh. A spiritual mindset is driven by God. You and I have the Spirit of God living in us. What we feed, the flesh or the spirit, will win the thought battle or the battle of the mind. Have you been reading your Bible? You follow me? And then you can contrast it to whatever else. You follow me? I'd rather feed the spirit, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm not good at it. You say, Pastor, you're not? No. That's why I work on it every single day. And I have a time set for that because I'm not good at it. Here's my first point I'd like to share with you. Your mind naturally defaults to the flesh. Genesis 6:5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only," what? "Evil continuously," or continually. I think, yeah, continually. Our family has a garden in our property, and praise the Lord, it looks nice whenever it has crops and veggies and fruits. I made this mistake of unattending this garden, okay? I'm opening up here my sins, amen? Yeah, pray for me, Brother Jeremiah. And so here's the thing about it, though. I left it unattended, and guess what didn't grow? Tomatoes. Oh, those grew. Crops, harvest, that didn't grow. But you know what the default of that unattended soil or garden is? You know what it grows? Weeds. Not just weeds. Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of weeds. You know the mind is the same way? When we leave it unattended, our default grows carnal, flesh thoughts. That's our default. So if we're not careful and we leave our mind unattended, we'll think on what? Lust. On what? Pride. On what? Anger. You follow me? This is why we need to understand that our minds are not our mind naturally defaults to the flesh. The same way a garden, it's the default system. This is the way it is. You and I need to understand that there are things that we can do if I don't intentionally plan the truth in our minds, if we don't plant truth, if we don't guard the truth, if we don't work the truth in our minds, if we don't read the Bible, right? Guess what will naturally grow? Sin. The weeds. I mean, that could look like what? Bitterness, selfishness, pride. I want you to understand that's the default of our mind. The carnal mind is our default. If we, yeah, this is good. We don't become spiritual by accident. We don't. But you know, by accident, we can default to a carnal mind when we do nothing. Think about that. When we don't guard it, when we don't work it, right? Guess what we can, by accident, become? Carnal-minded. Go to Romans chapter 3, verse 11. The Bible says this: "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after" who? God. This is our default. Our mind is naturally bad. It's not good. It's naturally bad. It's not neutral. Naturally, I'm a self-centered pastor. Naturally, I'm a prideful pastor. Naturally, I'm a rebellious pastor. And let me break the news to some of you. Naturally, you are too. I know. The world says, hey, let's follow your heart, right? Why? So you can leave it unattended. Follow your flesh. The Bible says your heart and your mind are corrupt without him, right? What does it say in Jeremiah? Your heart is deceitful, exceedingly, desperately wicked. Thank you. Who can know it, right? If you and if I just go to with our thoughts, guess what our thoughts are going to do to us? They're going to distance us from God, and we're going to drift away from God. So you say, Pastor, what is the point? Stop trusting in your instincts. Stop trusting in your emotions. Start trusting in the principles of the Word of God. Know what the Word of God says. Why? Because whichever one you choose to feed, that will be the authority in your life that leads your life. I don't have to like everything that happens around us. I don't have to like the circumstances that surround us, but I don't have to allow it to control me, right? I don't have to allow it to control my marriage or my family or our church family. I don't like it. It hurts. But at the end of the day, I can filter every thought that comes away in my life through the Scripture. Every thought that tries to come into my mind, I can filter it through God's Word, through Scripture, through memorizing the Word of God. Here's the second point. I hope this helps, because I really want us to understand whatever might be going on in this world and in our country. I know it might be affecting us, and I know it'll affect us in the long run, but long term, you have to think about it spiritually, right? Is God in control, right? And your situations that you might be in, I don't know your present situation, but always think, is God in control still? Do you still have that trust in Him? Anchor your thoughts to the Word of God. His Word is true. He'll preserve His Word. Second point, what you think on is what you become. What I think on is what I become. What you think on is what you become. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is what? Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not what? With thee. These are words that he's saying, hey, drink, hey, be merry. But in reality here, the concept here is deceitfully, in secret, they're against you. Well, the Bible's telling you that's who it is. Accept the person who it is. If they're a hater, don't be surprised when they what? If they're a liar, don't be surprised when they what? To you. Right? That's the truth. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think, have these type of thoughts on these things. Now, I touched on that, I think, on the first sermon or the second sermon, but I want us to understand that our life is not random. It is a product of our thinking. So let me just break it down to you. If we think lustfully, it's because we're living what? Impure. What you think on is what you become. If I have a perspective, okay, of impurity, and I look at things impure, or if I look at something in a certain way, guess why? Because I'm thinking what? Lustfully. Let me tell you another one. If you and I think bitterly, guess how we're going to live or how we live? Angry. I'm angry at this person. I'm angry at my parents. I'm angry at my dad. Listen, I grew up not knowing my dad. And I will tell you this. It did hurt. It did cause some damage and trauma in my life. And it caused me to do some things in my life, but it's because I was bitter. I didn't know the man. I felt like he chose to leave us. And so the pain he caused my mom and the unfortunate life that we led, I blamed it all on him. But what I ended up understanding is because I was angry at him, therefore I was what? Bitter. I was resentful. I held that grudge. So I did bad things. You follow me? To numb that anger, to numb that pain. But what you think on is what you become. I also want us to know that, you know, if we think spiritually, it's because we're trying to live righteously. We're trying to do right. Amen? We're trying to do right. And I want us to understand that our behavior is not the root problem. The root problem is our thinking. Are we thinking carnally, like after the flesh, right? Or are we thinking spiritually, God-driven? So is the problem a life problem, or is it a thought problem? Well, here's the thing, right? Is your mind being filled constantly or consistently with garbage? What's the garbage? Social media. What's the garbage? Gossip. What's the garbage? Pride. What's the garbage? Comparison. What's the garbage? Negativity. I avoid negative on purpose because it hurts my spirit. It really does. I'm not sensitive. I guess I am. But I will tell you this. I'm going to distance myself from someone negative because I'm trying to do God's purpose in my life. I don't have time to be distracted or brought down. You follow me? I don't have time for my energy to be drained. And it is energy. It's God. I'm not trying to be these weird people. But you have the Spirit of God living in you, right? And you're trying to do God's will for your life. It takes energy from you, right? Here's the thing. When you and I understand and we reflect upon our life and we're surprised, why are you surprised when all you're doing is filling your mind with garbage? Why are we surprised the way we react? Again, it's not a life problem, it's a thought problem. What I would do, honestly, be brutally honest with yourself tonight and examine, how is my thinking throughout the week? Just today, what are the things that I thought about today? You might seem, or you might think, well, they're not sinful, okay. That's what you might think. But is it weighing you down, or is it causing you to sin? Here's a brutal, honest truth. What you feed your mind daily will shape your future. In other words, listen, why don't we just replace our mental junk with Scripture? Everybody understands diet, right? How many of us understand diet? I do. I break them. I mean, the first day I go into it, I break the diet. Amen? I know. My wife's like, you're no help. I know, babe. I'm working on it. But I'm the kind that if you go on a diet, guess what? I work on it and then I break it. But we understand this, right? If a man eats or a woman eats, right, fast food every day, if we eat sugar drinks, or I'm sorry, you can't eat sugar drinks, amen. If we drink sugar drinks, amen. If we eat just junk food or processed food, right, what will be the outcome? We already know, right? Yeah, poor health, right? Poor health, low energy, right? Long-term damage, amen? And so we think about the outcome, but if that same person, right, the man or the woman, if they were to say, well, I don't understand why I feel like this. I don't understand why I have high blood pressure. I don't understand why I have diabetes, amen? If we were to be honest with them, right, what would we tell them? It's because the way you what? Because the way you eat, right? It'd be like, Pastor, it's because, you know, the way you eat. That's why you're sick. And here's the truth, right? It's because if I eat this way, all I am doing is eating garbage. All I am doing is eating processed food, right? Our mind has a diet. There's a mental diet. What you watch, what you listen to, what you dwell on, what you replay over and over and over in your mind is your mental diet. Just like your body, your mind will reflect exactly what you feed it. If you and if our mind is constantly feeding on lust, okay, then don't be shocked when we struggle with what? What's the opposite of lust? Impure. What's the opposite of impure? Purity, right? Let's not be surprised if, well, I'm struggling with purity. Why? Why? Yes, because we're feeding what? These lustful thoughts. Now, folks, this is not about a bashing thing. This is a help thing, okay? This is what this is. This is medicine for us, for all of us. Maybe that might not be your struggle, but what about anger, right? If your mind is constantly feeding anger and anger and anger, hey, listen, don't be surprised when your relationship is toxic. There's no peace, right? There are times where my wife is like, hey, did you have your coffee yet? Amen. And I'm like, no, why? Because you're grumpy. I'm addicted, amen. No, but here's what she's trying to tell me is, hey, straighten up your attitude, man. Go get your coffee. Go get your, you know, whatever you need, right? Your time, your space, because right now you're grumpy for a reason, right? And so anger, don't be surprised if all we do, if we're angry, we create this toxic relationship. What about negativity? Well, let's not be surprised when your outlook is always critical. If I'm always looking at the negative of something, my outlook is going to be what? Right? It's going to be dark. I'm going to be like, well, they're not doing this. They need to do this, and they need it. Because I'm looking at it from a negative perspective, right? I want us to understand that we're not victims of our life. We're a product of our thoughts. We become what we think. What you think is what you become. You wouldn't need trash and expect a healthy outcome, right? So why do we feed our minds garbage and expect godliness? Thank you. Third point, amen? Sorry, I don't want to lose anybody, so I'm going to keep going. You are commanded to control your thoughts. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 10:15, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of who? Christ. Romans 12:2 says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. God does not tell you to manage your thoughts. He tells you to take them captive in Corinthians, right? This is aggressive language. This is casting down. This is bringing into captivity. And this is, in Romans 12, renewing. What is this? It's not self-help. It's war. You have to fight for it. I'm going to give you this truth, and I'll hurry. If I'm not actively fighting my thoughts, if you're not actively fighting your thoughts, guess what we're doing? We're losing the war. We're losing it. If you and I don't do our due diligence, understand that it's not going to be by accident that we have a strong mind. Can I tell you, if we don't have a strong mind, how can we teach our kids how to have a strong mind, right? Spouses, how can we teach each other how to have a strong mind? I know we're not each other's parents, but we support each other. We help each other, right? Here's the truth. You build it through discipline. I build it through discipline, through scripture and obedience. That's how we build this. I'm done with this. Imagine a security guard securing a high-level building. And imagine that security guard having the kind of attitude where he says, I'm just going to let everyone in. You know, because I don't want to be mean. Imagine the owner of that building that needs that security, or that building secured, right, comes to him and asks, hey, why are you not guarding the building? What do you think is going to happen if that security guard just lets anybody in? What's going to happen? It's going to be a damage. Some people are going to, you know, people that shouldn't be there, right, are going to penetrate the building, take whatever valuable things that it needs, right? Well, that boss is going to fire him because he's not doing his job in securing that what? That building. Our minds are the same way. You and I are the security of our minds, of that door. You and I have the mind. We're the guard. We guard every thought that comes in. Every fear that comes in, we guard it. Every lust, every anger, every pride, every doubt. You can't blame the world. You can't blame your past. I can't blame my circumstances for what stays in my mind. You and I have to decide what enters in and what will remain in. You're the security guard of your mind. Tonight, if your mind is out of control, it's not because you can't control it. It's because you're not guarding it. Listen, an unguarded mind is an open, I don't know what I put there, intuition for destruction. No, I don't think. Oh, it's an open invitation for destruction. Amen? An unguarded mind is an open invitation for destruction. Whatever you let come into your mind, guess what it will do? It will destroy you. It will destroy your faith. It will destroy anything godly, your marriage, your family, your finances. Please guard your minds. Matthew, the next verse, Matthew chapter 15, 19 says this, for out of the heart proceed what? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. It's our job to guard our minds and let whatever is going to remain in the heart, in the minds. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. I don't know if God spoke to your heart, but I just wanted to help us understand that we can have unshakable thoughts. The world wants to say that we can't, but I'm telling you, the Bible.